The second Sunday in Lent. The epistle is taken from the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. Brethren, even as you have learned from us how you ought to walk and to please God, as indeed you are walking, we beseech and exhort you in the Lord Jesus to make even greater progress. For you know what precepts I have given you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from immorality, that every one of you learn how to possess his vessel in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgresses and overreaches his brother in that manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things, as we have told you before and have testified. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gospel is taken from that of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John and led them up to a high mountain by themselves and was transfigured before them. And his face shone as the sun and his garments became white as snow. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elias talking together with him. Then Peter addressed Jesus, saying, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us set up three tents here, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And as he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And on hearing it, the disciples fell on their faces and were exceedingly afraid. And Jesus came near and touched them and said to them, Arise and do not be afraid. But lifting up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus cautioned them, saying, Tell the vision to no one till the Son of Man has risen from the dead. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. In today's Gospel, we find St. Peter completely misunderstanding the situation. For this is a great mystical mystery that's occurring, that our Lord is being transfigured. His true nature is shining forth. Moses and Elias, the great prophet and leader from the Old Testament, is there appearing to him. And St. Peter is seeing things in a more material way. He's not really seeing the transcendence. He still has this idea that our Lord is coming to do this worldly type of empire. He's thinking, we'll bring people here, we'll set up booths and bring people in, and they'll be able to see you, our Lord, and then they'll follow you. He doesn't quite understand what is happening. The commentators say, though, that our Lord brings St. Peter, St. John, and St. James here in order to strengthen them, for his coming crucifixion. Now, what befell St. Peter? Now, he probably didn't commit a sin. He had a good intention in his heart and wasn't intending to offend God. But oftentimes, we fall into the same thing, that we take too much of a worldly view and then fall short and unfortunately do commit sin. Now, one of the sins that is very common but yet is often overlooked, I would say almost is never talked about, is the sin of envy. Envy is one of the capital vices. And it is actually one of the worst sins that we can commit. Envy is a sorrow over seeing someone else's good. And we sorrow, why? Because we want that good for ourselves. So you can have various types of sorrow, but the sorrow because we want that good, that is envy, and that is a grave sin. Why? Because it is directly contrary to charity. We should love our neighbor as ourselves. We are to love the Lord our God with our whole heart, whole mind, and whole soul, and love our neighbor as ourselves. To sorrow over our neighbor because they get some good that we want, that is directly contrary to that, to the great commandment, and to the commandment to love our neighbor. And so because of that, envy is really a grave sin. Now, as I said, there are different types of sorrow. So we can have sorrow over our neighbor because they might have something that can then be used against us. That's actually fear. That's not envy. So we get sorrow that you know, our neighbor has a gun and they're gonna come after us. That's fear. That's not envy. We can sorrow because our neighbor has some good, but that sorrow would spur us on to then try to achieve that good. That again is not envy. That's zeal. We look at our neighbor and we say, "Oh, look, they've got, they got the promotion, a job, a really good job. They went to college, and I think I can do that." And so now that spurs me on to do my studies, to work hard. That's zeal. Now that can be a good zeal, or that can also be a sinful zeal if it's for the wrong reasons, but it's not envy. Envy is when we see the good of our neighbor and it makes us then sorrow because we want that. So we see our neighbor and we say, "Oh, Cindy got the promotion. I wanted that promotion." And when it stays like that, "I wanted what the other person has," and it's that sorrow and sadness arising from that, then that is envy. It is something based on pride. I want it for myself. I want what you have for myself. So it can be anything. It can be a material good. We can look at, like I use the example of a job. We can look at material goods, a house. Someone has a nicer house than me, and I am envious of that. They seem to have perfect children, and I am envious of that. All these different things we can be envious of. But there is a deeper, darker form of envy, and that is envy over spiritual goods. We see someone who has maybe a great love and devotion to Our Lady, and we're envious of them. And that is a worse sin, because our envy is not just directed at our neighbor, but is directed at God Himself, because it is God who gives those graces to other people. So we see a grace that someone has, and we're envious. "Oh, look, there's Cindy. She's lighting another candle. That's all she ever does. She just lights those candles. And now she's going to come over and talk about the Blessed Mother." That's envy. That's envy. Might be a light form of envy, but we see an excellence, some good in another person that exceeds our own. And so rather than us trying to achieve that good, we try to bring the other person down. Why? So that we look good. It's based on pride, and it is against love of neighbor. Now, there are particular personalities that are prone to envy. First of all, the competitive person. We all know people like this. Everything becomes a competition, and you can see how this would fall directly out to envy. The other person wins or is winning, and so the person perceives it that way and tries to overcome it by taking the other person down. People who are prone to pride also. Envy is a close cousin. It's based upon pride. And so these people also would be prone to envy. Now, of course, pride, we all suffer from pride, but there are people who have that as their particular vice. And so these people have to be careful on envy. Also, the faint-hearted. That is, people for whom things are difficult. It's like they're there and they just think, "Oh, I can't do it. Oh, look at this. They, so-and-so just graduated from college and oh, I could never do that." The faint-hearted, the person for whom things are difficult. And it could be anything, be it athletics or academics or work-related or anything like that. Why? Because they look at the effort and they see the gain that their neighbor has, and rather than putting forth that effort, rather than letting that spur them on to zeal, it is then turned against the neighbor. "Oh, there they go. They just won another prize, and I'll never do that." And that's so they turns into gossip to try to take them down. So these are the personalities. But all of us, though, can fall to envy. Now, there are three steps to envy. Now, envy is a capital vice, which means it leads to other sins. And so there are three steps as we kind of spiral down into a deeper and deeper envy. The first is the envy spurs us on to some kind of gossip or detraction or something like that. We see the person, they're being perceived as better than us. So, you know, let me tell you about Luigi. You know, you might think he's so great, but he's done this and this and this, and now you know the true story. Gossip. And that can be detraction, it can be calumny, or any of these type of things. Tale bearing, there's a whole bunch of different names for different versions of this, but the common word is gossip. If you find yourself gossiping a lot, you need to pray to see whether the root cause is envy. Why are you doing this? Why are you listening to these things? Gossip is very common in the workplace and is oftentimes based upon envy. Also, I should say, teenagers, the same thing. Then the next step, that's the first step, and then the person spirals down deeper. The next step is then joy over the misfortune or an evil that befalls our neighbor. So now you think, oh, that is so, you know, they wrecked their car and they love that car and I hated that car and I'm so happy that they lost that car because now they're not, something like that. Joy over another person's misfortune. They lost some good. We should sorrow with them, of course. Even if it's something material, something minor, doesn't matter. And then the final point, the end point of envy, is hatred itself. And we begin to just hate the person and everything about them. And remember, if it's spiritual envy, if we're envious over them because they have a certain piety or they seem to be getting a lot of graces from God, they don't befall, they seem to be not falling into the same type of sins we are, then that end point is not just hatred of the other person, but it becomes hatred of God. And this is the most serious sin. And we need to be careful of this because envy is the motivation of the devil against us. The devil tempted our first parents out of envy. He saw the goods that God had given them, and he knew the great glory that they were being called to. And so because of that, he attacked them in order to take that good away. It was out of envy that motivates the devil back then, and it is envy that motivates him now. Why does the devil attack us? Why does he care about us? We are insignificant compared to him. Why doesn't he just stay in hell? Because it is envy. He hates us, he hates God, and he attacks us because of this. He wants to take away our glory. And so when we befall, or when we fall into spiritual envy, we are like the devil. We are following in his footsteps. And this is why this is a serious sin. It is directly contrary to charity, envy in general, but then also spiritual envy makes us very much like the devil. So we have to fight against this. So what are the remedies of envy? Well, first of all, if we look at gossip, we need to then make up for it. So we need to say something good about the person in a similar company to those people whom we've gossiped or participated in gossip in. We need to say something good to compliment them, to talk about that other person's good aspects. And of course, this makes up for it because then this begins to elevate our neighbor in the eyes of the other people. So it's directly, you know, we're undoing what we did to lower their opinion of them, so we're elevating it. But it also helps us then to look at our neighbor in a charitable light. Someone comes to gossip and you say, oh, yeah, but, and then you say something good about the person. He's always late for work. Yeah, but, you know, he really loves his kids or something like that, to try to divert the conversation. And it helps you then to look at your neighbor charitably. We also then need to directly pray for charity. Since envy is contrary to charity, we need to pray for the love of God, the love of God and neighbor. So this can be cultivated through devotion to the Sacred Heart. Our Lord says, "Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart." And it's that heart, it's the heart of charity. We can also pray, have a devotion to Our Lady's Sacred Heart, Immaculate Heart. The same thing, so that our hearts would be transformed into a heart of love like Our Lady's. And then finally, we should cultivate a humility. Humility is directly contrary to pride. Remember, envy is built very closely related to pride. And of course, pride is the foundation of all the vices. But envy is particularly close to it. So we need to pray for humility. Humility is particularly, it's directly effective against pride. It's particularly effective against envy and anger. But humility is the foundation of the entire spiritual life. So even if you don't have a problem with envy, you still pray for humility. I'm sure you've heard it before, I say it often, that a good prayer of humility is to take your scapular every morning, it's there around your neck, you give it a little kiss, you just ask Our Lady for humility. A simple little humble prayer like that, done every day, will reap great fruit. And so, envy is a terrible vice. It is something that is not talked about these days, or we don't think too much about it. In my opinion, many cases of depression, not all, many cases, especially among teenagers, is actually envy. And so we need to fight against this. St. Peter in today's gospel looked at what was happening in a worldly way. Of course, he wasn't committing a sin, but envy is a very worldly type sin. And so we need to carry ourselves free from this. We need to fight against this so that we can then remain pure and be holy for our Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.